Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Bless the Lord. Father, we look to you in Jesus' name. God, what an awesome God you are. Your ways are so much higher than our ways. And yet, you've called us to come up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus to be with you, that we might see things through your perspective. Lord, I pray this morning that you will touch the hearts of your people, that you would bring them up to higher places, that they would see things through your eyes, God, that they would see things through your perspective. So I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to move upon our hearts all together. I'm asking your anointing, Lord, to touch the word and to bless each heart here this day and meet every need in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm starting off this morning by going off script, because there's something I sense that God wants to say to his people. You know, in the Old Testament, God got a hold of Abraham, and through him began the nation of Israel. And God did great things. The reason was that he chose Israel, well, he didn't choose them because they were any special people. They were no special people. We're no special people. But God chooses us anyway, because he has a plan and a purpose. And one of his purposes, what Israel was going to be a blessing to the whole world. Israel was going to help make God known to the world. And Israel went through a lot. And Israel didn't do the best job of it. But God never failed them. God never forsook them. And I think one of the greatest things that you can remember about Israel was when they were in Egypt, how God delivered them through Moses and did some tremendous miracles, brought them through the Red Sea, delivered them from Pharaoh, and then buried their enemy behind them. So we come down to the time when Jesus showed up. It was at just the right time that he showed up. And he began the church. And he left off dealing with Israel for a period of time. And we're going what we call the church age, some people would say, in which God is using the church now to accomplish some of the same things that Israel was supposed to do to the earth. And one of the problems that I've seen is that we got theologians out there. A lot of them don't even believe the scripture is the word of God. But they're telling us that God cannot do the same things what he did back there. We have religious people. I call them establishment religion, that are telling us that we can't do the things, that God can't do the things that he did back there in the Old Testament. He doesn't do that anymore. And one of the things they've done, they have shut down the church. You can't do miracles. You can't speak in tongues. You can't. All of that stuff was for back there. And they've dumbed down the church to where there's not much belief for anything in the church, for the most part. And I take affront to that. I'm sorry. I believe that God is going to answer prayers. Israel prayed, God answered. Some of the men in the Old Testament, they prayed, God answered. And God did great and terrible things on our earth. And I believe that when we pray, God can do great and terrible things on this earth, and He can accomplish the purpose that He purposed. I don't believe that He's going to run out. Some people say, well, let's just have the rapture, and we'll just get out of here. I don't believe God's going to walk out of here and let the devil have the glory because he won. I believe that God is going to win this one. And I believe that we as a church, God is going to give us eyes to see. He's going to answer prayer. He's going to bring justice in this earth that we have needed for a long, long, long time. And he's going to expose the wicked ones. He's going to accomplish all that, I believe. And one of the things that I'm supposed to do this morning is to let you know that when God begins to move, and I believe he's already moving, but when God believes to do things, we're going to see things. A lot of things don't make sense right now. How does the wicked, they keep getting wickeder and wickeder and wickeder, and it's like they're doing stuff, they're trying to destroy our country, destroy our lives. And I believe that God is sick of it, and He's already been moving, and He's going to accomplish His purpose. He's going to bring glory to His name, and He's going to bring tons of Christian people into the kingdom. I believe that. And so we're going to see some things. There could be blackouts in the media, or you might not even have TV. You might, be total blackout. And what God is letting me know today, don't fear when you see some of these things happen. God is not after us. He's not out to destroy us. He's out to destroy the wicked out there. And He's going to come down on them. And we are not to fear. God is with us forever and ever. He never forsakes us. Greater is He that's within us than he that is of the world. And I believe that God is going to accomplish things. He's already doing things behind the scenes. And I believe He's going to bring glory. And I believe He's going to bring justice once and for all to this nation. He's going to show how great He really is. And there's going to be awakening, I believe, across our whole globe. The multitudes of people are going to get saved. So there we go. I'm letting you know that God says when you see some of these things, don't believe everything you see. We need to be into the Word of God. We need to be drawing closer to God every day. We need to be immersing ourselves in Him because there's safety in Him. Hallelujah. That's where our peace is. That's where our joy is. And He's going to take care of us. Hallelujah. And now we'll get to the message. Called the Burden of Habakkuk. The Burden of Habakkuk. Habakkuk 1:1. The burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. How can you see a burden? I haven't quite figured that one out yet. How can you see a burden? Maybe if you're packing something, you can see the backpack. That's a burden, maybe. I don't know, but the burden which the prophet Habakkuk saw. The burden refers to a prophetic oracle that would weigh heavily on the author. Be something that would be kind of heavy to bear. You know, the prophet Habakkuk was no different than us, and the enemy is no different than what he's doing now. He still pulls a bunch of stuff and things, stuff happen and everything. And don't believe all the stuff you see out there. We belong to the unseen. That's what it talks about in the book of Hebrews, the faith chapter. Believe that the unseen is what's real. So here is Habakkuk in chapter 1, verse 2 through 4. It says, O Lord, how long shall I cry and you will not hear? Even cry out to you violence and you will not save. Why do you show me iniquity and cause me to see trouble? You see, he's just looking at the natural world out there. For plundering and violence are before me. Isn't that going on today in our world? There is strife. Contention arises. Therefore, the law is powerless and justice never goes forth. For the wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, perverse judgment proceeds. And we see that every day of our lives that we're living down here now, more and more and more and more. The wicked surround the righteous. Perverse judgment proceeds. It's like, you know, if you look in the natural, there is no justice. It's a two-tiered thing, you know? But I believe there's a correlation to Habakkuk's prophecy and where the church in general is today. The prophecy had to deal with the questions of why evil in Judah went unpunished and how God could use a wicked nation like Babylon to punish his chosen people. Habakkuk wanted to know, just as we do, what God was doing and why. And I'm sure all of us want to know, what is God doing? God, what are you doing? What's going on there? What are you doing? How come that's happening? There seemed to be too much evil among the righteous. Yeah, there's evil in the righteous too. And too much freewheeling power among the wicked. The Lord did not rebuke Habakkuk for his questions. He answered, the Lord himself will establish his kingdom. Hallelujah. The Lord himself will establish his kingdom. He will hold all peoples and nations accountable. While the present day may be filled with wickedness and chaos, the future belongs to the righteous. Hallelujah. The truly righteous. God will usher in his kingdom, give rest and salvation to his people, and judge his people's adversaries. He will do that. So how does this relate to the church world in general today? I'm sure that you're all aware of the spiritual condition of today's quote-unquote church. The answer to our country's condition today is given in 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, not America, not the rest of the world, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. So it's not up to America in general to change their ways to receive healing. But according to God, it's up to his people or the church or his body to repent and change their ways to bring about the desired results. So the problem out there is the fault of the church, what it all boils down to. Because the church hadn't been diligent and do what the church was supposed to do, even up to this day for the most part. If we as the church would have obeyed the scripture or obey it now, our nation would not be in this dilemma. So we're faced with a very similar situation that Judah and Habakkuk were facing. And it seems in the natural that God is allowing the wicked to win. And the sad part is the church is very quickly spiraling downward into worldly ways and literally taking up the most ungodly principles of the world and making it a part of their agenda. And any Christian who stands up for truth and righteousness is persecuted by the very people who should be on our side. It's not on the script, but Isaiah 59:15. So truth fails, and he who departs from evil makes himself a prey. If truth fails, and you depart from evil, you make yourself a prey. And you see that happening out in our world today. People turn around and want to do the good, so what happens? They go after them. Just like a vulture, they go after them. So how did the church ever get into this present situation? In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 through 9, but know this, that in the last day perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women loaded down with sins, led away with various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, you wonder who those were. Those were the two ones that came against Moses when he was before Pharaoh. And he threw his rod down, became a serpent, and they did that kind of stuff too. They couldn't do all the kind of things that Moses did. And Moses' staff ate theirs up. So even as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapproved concerning the faith, but they will progress no further, for their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Of course, you remember with Moses, their folly was manifest for sure before all. The word form of godliness means it's an outward appearance of reverence for God. Oh, I'm really holy. You know, it's like it's an outward appearance of reverence for God. And denying its power means describes religious activity that is not connected to a living relationship with Jesus Christ. As time progresses, people begin to participate in religious activities that are empty and have nothing to do with a true relationship with God or with an individual faith in Jesus Christ. Matthew 7:21-23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. And many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we prophesied in your name, we've cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So see, you can do stuff that maybe a normal person should be doing, but you're doing it on your own. You're out there, you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And he'll say, I never knew, depart from you, you workers of iniquity, or lawlessness. Besides prayer for a church as a nation, we need to do what Habakkuk did. Remember, we're not always faultless either. Habakkuk 2, verses 1 through 4. I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me. Here it's interesting. You're watching to see what he will say to me and what I will answer when I am corrected. It's an interesting statement. Because, see, he was looking at things in the natural, like you and I look at things in the natural out there in our world. And he knows he's going to get corrected. But he's seeking God. He's doing what he needs to do. He's seeking God. And he knows he's going to be corrected. That's fine. At least get God involved in this thing. It says, the just shall live by faith. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but in the end it will speak and will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Behold the proud, his soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Hallelujah. That's important. We have faith and we're supposed to live by it. Hebrews 10, 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance or patience, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. So, I remember in my younger years, I remember, you know, I'd pray for something. Once maybe. You know. And nothing seemed to happen. Nothing seemed to happen. We have need of endurance, patience, so that after you've done the will of God, you receive the promise. I'm reminded of a scripture, was it, ask and keep on, ask. The real answer is ask, not just ask, but ask and keep on asking. Seek and keep on seeking. Knock and keep on knocking. In other words, you don't just do it once. I think God is looking at, how bad does he want that? He want, you know, if you just say it once, just ask the Lord once for it, I don't think he's really too interested in that. He wants to know, how persistent are we? Do we really want what we're asking? If the church in general has gone so far astray, what do we have to do to get on the true path that God has ordained for us? I want to look at several things. Number one, be careful you don't invent a Jesus that is contrary to Scripture. Very important. Don't invent a Jesus that is contrary to Scripture. There's a lot of people out there in the world that have done that. Well, I think Jesus is like this. And I think Jesus is like that. No, Jesus is like the Bible says he is. He hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. Proverbs 14:12 says there's a way that seems right to a man, but at the end is the way of death. You know, it can look good. Somebody can come up with something. Hey, that looks pretty good. That's pretty cool. Yeah. But it's the way of death, maybe. Has to line up with Scripture. Everything has to line up with Scripture, with the Word of God. That's what's eternal. That's what doesn't change. Galatians 1, 6 through 8. Paul's saying here, I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. Marvel that you turn away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. And he goes on, which is not another. There's only one gospel. And that's the gospel that was preached. That's the gospel that is in the Word of God. It doesn't change. It doesn't have to change because it is perfect. Because God originated it. Hallelujah. Which was not another, but there are some who trouble you and want to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Even if we were to come back sometime and preach something different that's not right, let him be accursed. John 5, 39 to 40. Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and the leaders, teachers of the law. He said, you search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you might have life. You have to obey the Scriptures. You have to be doers of the Word and not hearers only. You have to enter in. You have to invite the God of the Scriptures to come into your heart. Hallelujah. Pastor can preach a good message on Sunday. We say, great message. And then go out the door, forget all about it, and not allow the Holy Spirit to internalize it so that we can grow from it. So we don't want to invent a Jesus that's contrary to Scripture. Number two, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Philippians 2, 12 through 16. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You're not going to get to heaven with your parents' salvation, or with your pastor's salvation, or friend of yours' salvation, or spouse's salvation. No, you have to have your own salvation. And you do it with fear and trembling. You need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you're right. And God will guide and direct you and let you know. The Holy Spirit lets you know that you're a child of God when you do what is right. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. And do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God, without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast that word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. So here you have that idea again, hanging on. You don't let go. Don't quit. Don't turn from the direction you're supposed to be going. And remember this, you don't have a special relationship where God allows you to get away with this. God doesn't let anybody get away with anything. He's a big God. He knows our hearts. We don't always know our heart, but God knows our hearts. We don't get away with anything. Number three, you're married to Jesus. Revelation 19, 7 and 8 said, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready." His wife has made herself ready. You make yourself ready. It's not somebody else that does it. It isn't even God that does it. He works through you. You make yourself ready. "And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints." You know, the modern idea for getting married seems to be, well, we'll try it out together a little bit. If we don't seem to be compatible, well, then we'll just split the sheets or go our own ways. God is a wedding vow to commit to marriage for better or worse, for sickness and health, until death do us part. And you know, many people come to the Lord the same way, the same ideal. Well, I'll try it out. As long as things go the way I think they should, all will be well. If there's any controversy or, you know, everything, well, I can always back out. But when Jesus presses for commitment or asks us to do something, we get cold feet and bail out. He's looking for a committed bride that will be devoted to him and keep himself pure. Matthew 10:37-39. "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son and daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who finds his life will lose it, and he who loses his life for my sake will find it." You know, over the years, I've seen a lot of people. But I could remember some people that were mixed marriage, or marriage. One of them was saved and one wasn't. Usually it was the wife that was saved and the husband wasn't. And I'll tell you something, there's not very many of those that will survive. Most of them will get sucked in the wrong direction and go away from God. Don't ever marry somebody that's not in the same status God-wise as you are. Our children, you know, they get the hots for somebody and it's like they're unreachable. You don't want somebody to turn you away from the Lord. If your wife or husband or son or daughter or whatever, it causes you to turn away from the Lord, then you're not worthy of the Lord. It's important that we hang on to God no matter what our situation, no matter what. Why don't you go back? I don't know if I've ever heard anybody ever mention this. Adam and Eve, when they were in the garden, and Eve was tempted by the serpent to take the fruit and eat the fruit. And so she ate it. It was good. And she offered some to her husband, and he took and ate it. Now, Eve was deceived. She was deceived. The Bible says she was deceived. But Adam knew what he was getting into. And Adam elected to go with his wife rather than to say, "No, God said, I'm not going to do it." You wonder, what would have happened if he would have done that? I don't know. But there's an example right there. If you put your mate or put someone before you and God, You're not worthy of him. Number four, check out your heart condition. What's our heart condition? Acts chapter 7, verse 39 through 42. Whom our fathers would not obey, but rejected. And in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. In their hearts. See, when they left Egypt, they really, in a lot of ways, they didn't want to leave Egypt. There was stuff there that was good. Although there was a lot that was bad. They were slaves, and, you know. But in their hearts, when things got rough out there in the wilderness, they wanted to go back. Their hearts wanted to back to Egypt. Sing the air and make us gods to go before us. As for this Moses who brought us out of the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him. And they made a calf in those days, offered sacrifices to the idol, and rejoiced in the works of their own hands. And God turned and gave them up to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of prophets. Did you offer me slaughtered animals and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? But see, backsliding starts in the heart. In the heart is where it starts. So we need to keep our hearts pure. Hallelujah. 1 Kings 18, verses 21 through 24. And Elijah came to all the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? You got something out here and you got something out here. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. Make up your mind. But the people answered him not a word. Then Elijah said to the people, I alone am left a prophet of the Lord. Baal's prophets are 450 men. Therefore, let them give us two bulls, and let them choose one bull for themselves and cut in pieces and lay down the wood, put no fire under it. And I will prepare the other bull, lay down the wood, put no fire under it. Then you call on the name of your gods, and I will call on the name of the Lord. And the God who answers by fire, he is God. So the people answered and said, it is well spoken. So if Baal's so good, serve him. But if God's the one, if he's the one answered by fire, that's who you need to serve. Joshua 24, 14 and 15. Now therefore fear the Lord, serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the river and in Egypt. Serve the Lord. And if it seems evil for you to serve the Lord, choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served, which were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You see, you can't serve both. There's some people, well, even Paul's day, you know, they went to anyway, they had all these idols up there. They had one to the unknown God. You know, there's a lot of people, all they want to do is add the Lord maybe to the gods they're already serving. God isn't going to put up with that. Yeah, I'll tell you a little story. I had a nephew. Laura and I went to the wedding. Beautiful wedding. It seemed like a wonderful girl, Christian, church and everything. They married. And it was only days later he ended up getting an annulment. Why? Well, she wanted to be able to go and enjoy other guys too. Well, that ain't going to work for marriage. And that won't work for Christ either. You're either going to serve Christ all the way. He's not going to share you with the world out there. And so it's really important that we Joshua had the right deal. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Proverbs 27:19, as water face reflects face, so a man's heart will reveal the man. It's like looking in a mirror. Water will reflect your face, so a man's heart reveals the man. Jesus talked about that too. He talks about the heart a lot. Another thing, prepare to go through testing. Oh, we don't like testing. Prepare to go through it. You will go through it. If you've not already been through it, you will go through testing. In school, why does the teacher give us tests? I think it's to prove to you and the teacher that you're actually learning what's taught. God does the same thing. When he gives us a revelation of his ways, then he gives us the opportunity to put into practice what he has shown us. The test isn't to destroy us, but to cause us to grow up and become strong in him. It's just like a muscle. You can't make the muscle strong unless you exercise it. Philippians 3, verses 8 through 11. Paul again speaking. Yet indeed I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus, Christ Jesus my Lord. Excellence of Jesus my Lord. Whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, and that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. So how do we do that? Books have been written on the subject. But I think we need to respond to the Spirit's coaxing by trusting him to do what he wants to do through us. We must trust the Spirit of God to give us the power to do what is right. We must rely on the Spirit to help bridle our tongue, to control our eyes, thoughts, and our deeds. So I ask the question again. If the church has gone so far astray, what do we have to do in order to keep on the true path that God has ordained for us? And they know for sure that we're bound for heaven. Number one, you don't invent a Jesus that's contrary to Scripture. We need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We're married to Jesus. We need to check out our heart condition. We need to prepare to go through testing. And one I didn't give you, but I'm giving you now. Recognize that Jesus doesn't change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallelujah. So I'd like to look a little bit at a conclusion here. We need to stand our watch on the wall, and in the Spirit become aware of what God is doing and what is transpiring in those around about us. What is God saying to us? We need to stand our ground in prayer and not be distracted or discouraged by what we see in the natural, but recognize that God wants us to exercise our faith until our prayers are answered. God doesn't always pay on Friday. Pray for our church. Pray for our city. Pray for our kids. Pray for our rulers and recognize that in the end, we win. The just shall live by his faith. Don't cast aside your confidence, but after you've done the will of God, endure until the answer comes. Don't say, if I prayed and I'm not seeing to get the answer, oh, I guess God's not going to answer that prayer. No, you get persistent. You hang on. You keep believing. Keep trusting. Keep pounding the throne of heaven, hallelujah, till your answer comes. Let your light so shine that others would be drawn to follow after what you're doing. Warn those around you of the truth and don't allow them to lead you astray or away from the truth, no matter what persecution comes your way. Jesus, who is the truth, will see you through. Though great trouble was coming upon Judah, yet in the end Habakkuk spoke out a hymn of faith, and his burden was lifted. Great trouble seems to be headed our way, and we don't seem to see the answer to our prayer at times. But we also need to respond in faith, and recognizing that the just shall live by his faith. And when we do that and proclaim it to the world, our burden will be lifted. Habakkuk 3, verses 17 through 19. We could sing that. Though the fig tree may not blossom, there be no fruit on the vines, though the labor of the olive fail and the field yield no fruit, though the flock be cut off from the fold and there be no herd in the stalls, yet will I rejoice in the Lord, yet will I rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. God the Lord is my strength, and he will make my feet like the deer's feet, and he will make me walk on the high hills. Hallelujah. So no matter what happens, we win through Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. Blessing and admonition. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who will also do it. Hallelujah. So have confidence in God. Keep your faith in God. Don't give up. No matter what you see out there, believe that God is at work and God's going to accomplish his purposes, and God is going to lift up his name over all the earth, and there's going to be multitudes of souls come into the kingdom. So let your light shine, live the way God wants you to live, and we'll trust the Lord for everything. Father, I pray that you'll touch each heart here this morning. God, help us to recognize that you are in charge, and God, you never fail. Lord, I thank you for the peace that you can give us, for your joy. Lord, knowing that you are active at work and you're going to bring glory to your name. Lord, we just lift up you this day, Lord. And we praise you because you are the answer. You are the solution. You are the God that we trust and have confidence in. And you are going to bring to pass your purposes, Lord, for the glory of God. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.